You're listening to the CBA Podcast. CBA Podcast is brought to you by Chapman Basketball Academy. Your hosts are Terry Massey, Max Johansson, and Joe Chapman.
All right, here we go. Wisconsin Lutheran just won state champion, and we happen to have their star player also ranked number one in the state of Wisconsin, Konkanen. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So we do this podcast to kind of give younger kids in the club kind of perspective on what they need to do. Let's start young Con. What does a young Con look like? How do you get into basketball club? Was basketball always your sport, or were you multi-sport? Or
yeah, so real early, my parents forced me to play like kindergarten, started playing upward, just like some most people do.
Yep.
And I sucked. I hated it. Didn't love it at all. And just kind of got better, a little bit better by year. Like the first year I ducked from the ball, the one time I got passed. So yeah, just experimenting with a bunch of different sports, played baseball, basketball, football. And that was pretty much it. Those three growing up.
You have a very, like, when you say forced into basketball, you have a very, like, basketball family, right?
Yeah.
Uncles, like, parents, right. Like, talk a little bit, like, when you say forced, were you, like, just in the gym all the time, or, like, you're playing this eventually?
Yeah.
I wouldn't, like, they definitely made me play early on, but that was just, like, you kind of grow to love something, so, mm-hmm. like, parents make people do something because they want to try to see if they would like it.
Yeah.
So, I really never liked it until about third grade. And that's when I really like started reading basketball books and like playing NBA Jam, 2K.
NBA Jam.
What was your first basketball book? Like the Mike Lupica series?
No, like encyclopedias.
Yeah.
Like NBA.
If you guys only knew what video games were, like it was the Charlotte Hornets was the big NBA video game, you know, where Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning against, I think it was Jordan and...
NBA Jam. Yeah. So Jordan wasn't on there. So it was Pippen and Horace Grant.
Yeah.
Jordan was never on
there. Armstrong, I think, was on there too.
Yeah. Jordan never really... like wanted to be a part, license himself to be a part of stuff like that. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's the same trajectory. Like I talk about my kids on this podcast, and in first grade we played them up on a third, fourth grade level, and Con's stories kind of ring bells to me because when the boys got out there the first time, my wife's family was like, "What are they doing?" The coach Appleby, who won two state championships for Brown Deer as a boys AAU coach, and he's like, "Go run to the corner." And Joseph ran out the door in a corner in a hallway and was like, "I'm in a corner. He's told me to sit in the corner." And so we're sitting in a crowd like, "Oh my God, they're not going to be good basketball players." But you know, coming from basketball family, that discipline and structure at an early age. Talk about your mom who played, your dad who played, your uncle who played. How did that make you want to evolve in the sport?
Yeah, so my mom played at Green Bay and my dad played at WLC, and they're pretty. My dad's not the all time leading scorer anymore, but my mom still is.
Yep.
And so that was definitely encouraged to keep getting better. And I think it was like fifth grade. I was outside. We lost in a tournament game. And I was pretty good. I was like the best player on the team, but I wasn't really putting the time in.
Yeah.
Like I probably should have. I mean, I don't know. I was in fifth grade.
That's a good point.
But I just looked at me and my mom just had a conversation and just were like, all right, we're going to get good at this. So like, from that point on, it was like every day.
Yeah. And I've known you since probably that fifth, sixth grade. That's when CBA first started. And you were with Closed Gym. And you wasn't the tallest guy on your team. Like you eventually like shot up, you know, but your skill set was still one of the highest on the team, even at that grade. And I thought Andy Monfrey done a great job with that group of guys.
Yes.
He was a great coach and mentor to you guys. And he had the right type of temperament, you know, for that group, because at CBA, that was the group we were looking at. It's like, oh, they do it the right way. You know, the guys play the right way. You know, they had Bennett on the team. You know, he's going to trash talk and play hard. And we had some of those guys too. So it was kind of fun to kind of go against a team that you can kind of they're on the top of the pyramid. It's like, oh, that's who we're chasing, something like that. So, you know, I see Khan in sixth or seventh grade. They're playing 3-on-3 at Homestead. And, you know, I'm there watching. And the guys kept talking about this Khan kid. I was like, okay, he's like 4 inches smaller than almost all of you guys. Who is this guy? So I end up watching the 3-on-3. And I'm talking to Tim Franks at the time. He's like, that's the best player in our class. So I'm trying to get the landscape because I'm from Chicago. I'm like, oh, okay. Now I'm watching. I can see. And then I'm big on, I'm going to say it, I'm big on dating to mating. I tell Max this all the time. And so I'm looking around. I'm like, all right, so who is this kid's parents? Because his skill set's very high, but I don't know him. So I was like, oh, they pointed out, like, that's his mom, that's his dad. They run closed gym. I'm like, okay. They both played, okay. It's like, you know, eventually those are the type of kids that got the genetics, that mm-hmm. got the discipline and structure at a young age. They already got an AAU program. Were you playing closed gym at the time with your dad already? When did you start playing grown men?
I'm glad you asked. We got a league game tonight. I started playing during COVID.
Okay, 2019.
So like that spring.
Okay.
So I wasn't very good.
Okay. That's your freshman year going into sophomore or sophomore?
Into freshman year.
Going into freshman year.
End of eighth grade.
He says he wasn't very good, but then Tim's telling you in what grade was that?
Fifth, sixth grade.
This is the best kid in our class. Yeah.
No, he was going against old guys.
Yes,
this is college guys come back and playing.
I was probably one of the worst at that point. But then it was about a year and a half. Then I was like pretty close to the best.
Yeah. What did playing in that like teach you? Did it just give you like, oh, this is where I'm at, this is where I need to be? Like, what were your main takeaways when you first started playing in that league?
It's just learning how to play the right way, sharing the ball. And I mean, old men, you can't, I mean, I don't want to say old.
We'll cut it. Don't worry.
What days do you play? What days do you play, Joel?
We play. Yeah. We got to get Khan in there. Team. Yeah. No, we can't go against them. We got to
put them on your team. Even Travis and Khan against the overseas.
Yeah, overseas guys. Yeah.
Just the moving without the ball is key. Just like that's so important in that style of basketball.
Yep.
So, but that's important in all styles of basketball. Like, mm-hmm. what do you do when you don't have the ball? Because you're not getting the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always big. And then just communication, defensively, offensively, that stuff like that. And that in that sense is huge because you take that away to your high school team and then you instill that there.
Yeah.
And that's big.
Where'd you go to grade school?
St. John's Wauwatosa.
Okay, so it's always been parochial, grade school, middle school, and then.
Yep.
You went to Wisconsin High School then, Wisconsin Lutheran High.
Yep.
So
when did you realize like playing against older guys helped you slow the game down when you play against people your own age? Like you play like an old man now.
Yeah.
Already. In the sense of like you play like a Luka Joker, the game is slower to you than most high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
When did that start? After you start playing with the older guys and you brought that back to your game?
I would say that definitely helped. I was always kind of a little bit, I was smarter with the ball, always kind of just trying to play off 2 feet, making the right play. And then playing with the older guys too, just that really grew because you got it like they were just truck you like
moving screen.
Like you gotta be ready to go, so that I think that really helped develop that more especially as I got more athletic. Keeping that pace and playing with the old guys definitely helped that out.
And I think that's pretty cool, like the kids of this generation are looking up to, you know, your discipline and structure. Like my boys watch YouTube of like everything they can find of you. It's like, and that we were at the game where you made the block. So we're going to talk about that later, but you know, people don't know how athletic you are. You know, when you're watching, you don't really see it, you know, until you have to do it, because you're one of those guys, you don't have to do it all the time. You play off of 2 feet. You play with your body. You play angles really well. So you don't have to show those bursts, you know, a lot of the times. So when you do see it, it's just like, where did that come from? The crowd's like, where did that come from? You know, but we see it all the time with AP. We see them jumping around and doing different things and working out with Diener. But talk about, you know, your journey from 7th, 8th grade when it started to become serious, getting that first recruiting letter. And how did that inspire you after you realized I was pretty good? And then I started to get, you know, college looks. But also I want to talk about after that question about the pressures of maintaining at a young age. You've been number one player for 6th, 7th grade. That pressure of maintaining that, you know, dive into those if you can.
Yeah. So 7th, 8th grade, I was one of the best in the state. And that just, you just want to keep getting better at that point. And then it's about, I want to be an impact player on varsity as a freshman. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what your thought process from there. And that was something like I would work with Monfrey, and that was big. Like you want to be able to help the varsity team
right.
in any way.
Right.
So you want to get some minutes, be a contributor, don't have to start, but
right.
you want to be a varsity contributor. And so that was kind of what motivated me that, through that 7th and 8th grade time period. And then high school season, you just tryouts, you just want to be on the team, right. you want to be able to play. And I just remember the first day after tryouts, after the team was decided, coach was like, he wrote on like what the roles of everybody on the team would be, and he put starters minutes by my name.
Oh, no.
I was like, let's go.
Yeah, as a freshman.
Yes.
Oh, So that was big.
So that was big. And then after that season, we lose to Pewaukee. That sucks. And
they had Milan, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They had a squad.
Yeah, that was a big time squad. Yeah,
really, really good. Really, really good team. And that's a motivator. So mm-hmm. when you talk about like getting the recruiting letters,
mm-hmm.
You're still thinking about that, and you want to get better. You want to beat Pewaukee. You want to beat that team. That was what they were for me personally, and for yeah. our team. Like this is the team we have to beat. This is how that made me so much better.
Right.
Thinking about them. So when I would get, like, I got my first offer from my uncle.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, whatever. It's like, which is like, yeah, I had no idea that was coming or anything.
Yeah.
And then went to that Marquette team camp.
Yep.
And got an offer from them. And then I was like, I got to get a lot better. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I told my parents. I got to get a lot better. So having those motivators of I got to get better, because if I want to play at that level, I got to be better than I am now.
Right.
And losing to Pewaukee every year.
Right.
Having those two things really, really drove me through the high schools.
So how many years in a row did you lose to Pewaukee?
Three
straight times.
Yeah.
And this was number four.
Yep.
Your senior year playing against them on your last game.
Correct.
That's pretty cool moment. You got anything, Coach Mack? I don't want to dominate this because I can.
Yeah. One thing I noticed about his game, when he goes to the hoop, how low he gets, the only other person I see that drives like that is Michael.
Yeah,
McNabb. They both get to the rim the same way. Get low, get to the rim, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and I talk about that with my boys a lot because we watch a lot of high school games, and we're always watching the better players of getting your shoulders low. Sometimes you do it as low. Sometimes you do it to get your shoulders past the mm-hmm. player, but not actually explode to finish past
right.
them. You're setting them up for because you play against old guys. You setting them up to go back the other way right. a lot. You know, like you play off two, you come back in front of me, cool. Off the glass, you know, and it's just so fun to watch. Now we're talking about he's doing this to, you know, guys his age or older guys. He was doing this on an EYBL level, the best high school basketball that you can play on, leading the EYBL in scoring at an efficient rate too. It wasn't like he's jacking shots. This is against the best players in the country that he was doing that to. And so for me, those are the type of players. When you're a youth player that you want to, you know, analyze a little bit, like, okay, I can pick up little things from their games, because that's what we all did. You know, high school, college, you're looking at things to add from Novak game, from Diener's game, from Wade, and you put it inside your own game. You won't be as good as them, but you can put it, you know, a little things that they do. So I think that's pretty cool that you can see every year you put different things in your game. And we call Tim Franks Larry Bird of the North Shore. But I think you're, I think you're like the Larry Bird of the state, you know, because that's, you guys play like, you know, Larry Bird, you know, it's just, it's fun to see because that was my, one of my favorite players playing. So just to see guys, you know, still play like that. You just don't see that in high school anymore. So talk about your season this year. Some of the goals that you had for your team, obviously to get past Pewaukee, but you had a very tough schedule this year. So talk about why you played tough schedule. You went on the road and played a lot of good teams too. So let's talk about your season a little bit.
Yeah, I just want to finish off with that, what you said about Tim.
Yeah.
And about me and Tim. We probably have the worst highlight tapes ever to watch.
Yeah, would agree.
Like the most boring, yeah. But it's
this efficient.
It's just like 2 foot pump fake layup.
Just some mixing some charges. Yeah,
some charges. Oh man, it's so funny to watch those guys play. You played each other this year, last year. It's just like, you know, and from the naked eye, it's like, how are these guys scoring the ball? I'm like, why are they so efficient? But, you know, the real basketball players, you're like, man, those guys are special. Just look how they're playing the game. And you play off 2 feet, so the guys in the paint, you know, they're trying to jump and block shots. You're just like, go ahead, go past me. It's going to lay it up real, off the glass. But then when you see those explosion clips, you're like, wait a minute, where did that shit come from? Like, you know, jumping off 2 feet, bang. And just seeing those highlights, it makes you put it in perspective like, no, I can do this and that, but I prefer this game because that's the longevity game. You know, the athleticism, you know, that's hit or miss with athletes. But to be able to play the game the right way, it's very effective by playing with older people. Of learning how to play without the ball. There were times in this state tournament where they tried to press up on you and you got off of it. You got your UCLA action, got you in the post. They come in double, boom, make the right play. You know, so some of that stuff that I watch for some of these guys is like, that's next level stuff. So
going back to your season, you guys went undefeated, right?
Yeah. You know?
So that's a, yeah, that's a pretty big deal, right? So what game out of this whole season, I mean, yeah, you have Pewaukee on your radar. Is there another team that you had on your radar? Like, we got to get by these guys too.
Yeah, we lost it to Pierre 2 years in a row. So we wanted to go up there, and we knew that was going to be the toughest game.
Yeah. And they won 40 and something in a row.
42.
42 in a row, and you guys went in there and beat them at the Pierre. Mm-hmm. That had to be a statement, like, we can do that this
year. Yeah, we led end-to-end too.
Yeah.
We were up the entire game. It was it was less of the team game that you probably saw in like the state championship. I think I had 22 in the first half of the 26.
Yeah.
So it was not the style we want to play, but I played pretty well.
Yep.
And
but that, you're I don't want to cut you off, but he doesn't speak highly of himself a lot. That's just who he is. They don't have a player that can guard you on that team because Zach is smaller, 6'3", and Will is too tall.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, I am the mismatch today. Sometimes as a great player, you got to go do it, you know, because you're the mismatch on any given day. So in that game particular, it was like, you got to go because either you're going to dominate Zach in the post or you're going to take Will off the dribble and make decisions from there. So having 22 out of the 26 wasn't, from a coach's point of view, that's something you had to do, you know, for the team to relax the team. And after the team is relaxed, now everybody, you know, get a little feeling from it. So I think that the peer game set you guys up for the rest of your season.
I watched the Nicolet game. There's another guy there that's probably going to be ranked pretty good next year. Talk about a little bit about going against another guy that level and Davian Hanna and stuff. And I thought you guys played a really good game and stuff. So talk a little bit about going against a guy who's probably, you know, going to be at your level next year.
Yeah, it's I love the challenge of playing another good player, but also like guarding him, which is what I did a lot this year, is guarding the best player.
Yes.
Yeah, you and Tim went at it at Homestead. It wasn't that.
Yeah, I wish we switched everything. I wish I could have guarded him a little bit more because. Logan Rinflesh on our team knows Tim was giving him buckets.
Yeah. And as a good player, you hate that as a scout because I knew like they switch everything. So I wait to the right matchup. That's who I'm attacking. You know, like come set the ball screen. I know the scout report, switch it all. I'm attacking you. Or Khan's going to get a 2-minute break real quick. It's time for me to catch my rhythm. You know, that's what good players do. You try to find your rhythm against other players before the main guy is on you. So that was a good testament of that game.
One thing I'm noticing, I mean, I just met you. Watch you play. You're pretty humble on the court. You're extremely humble now, from what I can tell. What keeps you grounded? What keeps you humble?
My faith, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably most. I mean, I've been raised this way to try to be humble about my abilities and let my game do the talking. Or, I mean, I won't tell you that I'm humble. I'll try to just let my personality show that. But
yeah.
My savior was humble, mm-hmm. and he taught us to show humility. So I try to do that to the best of my ability.
So talk about, you're in here all the time, but you also have some of your siblings in here with you.
Yeah.
Talk about like that relationship with your brothers, going through the weight room, going through the basketball journey with them.
It's fun. Cater's it with me most of the time now. They're going to start high school workouts pretty soon here, so I don't know how much he'll be out here. But having those guys with me is really fun. I enjoy just the drives out here. Yeah. We'll sit and in silence for sometimes we won't say any words. Just look out the window, and sometimes it's fighting in the back. Kinston and Cash are going at it. Or
as you're the driver, are you like, you're disciplining them on the way out here? Like, are you playing the parent role there?
Yeah. So like with Cager, it was my first time playing on a team with him or being with him.
Yep.
So we shared a really special moment after the championship. Gave him a hug. Said, I really enjoyed playing with you. Yep. I'll miss you, buddy.
Yep.
And then we started crying a little bit.
That's awesome.
I enjoy hanging around those guys.
They're starting to be
have a little more personality, right, like coming out of them as they're growing up. And
yeah,
they're moving up a division next year, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Moving up to D1.
I don't think that's right. Like, I don't know why they should do that.
Moving more than that, though, right?
Pewaukee, too.
Right?
You know, Pewaukee, yeah.
That's so weird that because you're winning. Oh, yeah. Let's move you up.
High school has some pretty big ebbs and flows, which is
part of it. Now Khan's gone, and now you want to move him up. Like that.
I think you can protest it.
You can. I think you can.
I wonder how lenient they'll be on.
Not very.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
It's weird that they do that, you know. But I want to go back to your brothers and how that process started. Because we all learn from our siblings, our mother or father. Like you've been fortunate to have two great figures in your life that pushed you to set a standard of discipline, structure. After school, go do this, go eat this, go relax your body, go hang out when you need to, get to the gym. Now, passing that down to your brothers, you know, is a huge thing. I remember talking to some of your brothers, Kager, and I'm like, hey, what's up, man? It's like 3 years ago. He's like, he didn't say much back. And Khan's like, that's just who he is. He doesn't really talk. And it's like every year they get more comfortable. And they start to, the biggest thing that I see kids like you do to their siblings is give them the culture that you've learned. You know, the discipline, the structure, the this is what you need to be successful. Even if you never reach the level that I reach, this is how I got there. These are the steps that it takes to be a successful person. And being a successful basketball player is something that is the light at the end of the tunnel. But to do this every day, you're going to be a successful person. And I see that from your brothers every day. It's like they started to like, okay, this is what I need to do. These are the right people I need to be around. Obviously, that 8th, 9th grade, 10th grade, you got to decide which avenue you're going down, the wrong path. It can easily shift over. And I don't care how good your school is or whatever. It's always going to be knuckleheads and people doing the wrong stuff. That's just school, you know. So, you know, to have that discipline and structure that we're setting, you know, that you're setting for your brothers, that I'm setting for my boys, is what's going to lead them down to be successful in whatever they get into. But talk about how your parents did that for you a little bit. You know, they used to take you to the gym and you used to drive in a van. Yeah. I used to see you guys come out, you know, like the Brady Bunch. Everybody used to come out of there like, damn, everybody's in there. Like they'd be driving all around the country in this van. And they all pop out like, let's go. And who was DJ's dad was like, yeah, they used to bring like you know, pee bottles on a roll so they didn't have to stop. So it's like, this is a true basketball family. Like that, this is what they breathe. It's like, no, we're not stopping. Like,
we gotta go.
Right, right. So talk about like that, your faith, your parents, how that, like, you know, shaped you to the person you are, you know?
Yeah, that, I mean, it all started just them raising me in Jesus and knowing, mm-hmm. knowing my Savior, bringing me to church,
mm-hmm.
Sending me to private school, the Lutheran school, learning about God and growing my faith. And that's where that starts,
mm-hmm.
like that discipline and knowing how to love.
Yes.
And show that to other people,
mm-hmm.
knowing how to treat other people. That starts from that. And I'm very, very thankful my parents did that for me. And as you grow and you have a family and you can pass that on. So that's something that's generational. Right. It's not just one generation that stops. So that was huge.
Right.
And just to share that with brothers too, that was cool. And my parents are so supportive. I mean, we'd go to the gym and they'd rebound.
Yeah.
Like, so when I said I started in like fifth grade shooting every day, that's where we started. We're going to the gym every day. And then eventually got to lifting. And,
mm-hmm.
But I started in fifth grade and my brother Kidman was like five. He started going too. Yeah, yeah. So we all started going. He's just like running around.
Right, right.
And now, but he's been in the gym every day.
Yeah.
Like, since yeah. five.
And we were talking about that with Steve Novak today. He was like, you know, his dad was the head coach at Brown Deer for over 20, yeah, 30
he's just
years.
In the gym all the time. He's in his the dad's gym. Coach.
And he's like, you know, that's the love of the game started. Just being in the gym. He's like eating candy off the floor. Just like, but I wasn't, you know, I'm just there watching the guys and picking up what they're doing. And that's what we want to do for our kids is just give them what we've been taught. You know, through the game, through our faith and through different people is, and that's what I see like from you. I do want to talk about a little bit. I know your mom got inducted to the Green Bay Hall of Fame and you're in the middle of your season too. Like, talk about how cool was that for her? You know, what's that 25, 27 years later to be inducted?
No, she was inducted. She got her jersey retired.
So that had to be a cool moment for her and for your family with all her kids there, just to go through that moment.
Yeah, it was really cool. We have a couple. My dad's had a couple of like her VHS tapes.
Yeah.
He put a couple of them up on YouTube. So we would watch those sometimes, like for my, yeah. like he did that for like my mom's birthday. And so yeah, it's just cool. Just reassure mom was a beast.
Yeah,
mom was a beast.
And that's so cool to like you have a family tree of really good players, that's very supportive of
right.
you. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, your uncle Jeff Nogard, who's the coach of the Blizzard, you know, and you play for him mm-hmm. for a while, and he's always supported you regardless of yeah. what team you played on or whatnot. He never. It's like, you need to be here, you know, and I thought that was very cool for an uncle to allow you to grow and be a part of different things. And because you don't see that, you know, right. the great players, you don't see that because they always got someone trying to pull at them to come do this or that. So it was very reassuring that our best player in the state was guided the right way, you know, and you don't have that a lot because people underneath you. You know, they wasn't necessarily like that. You know, people played for 3-4 teams. They were going out of the state to play, come back. And, you know, so just to see someone stick it through and just play with his peers, play with people. He didn't go to Mean Streets or, you know, Mac Irvin. Like, you stayed with Closed Gym into eighth grade, you know. And then you went on to Phenom. All right. So talk about that transition of playing on the EYBL level from Closed Gym level.
Yeah. It was definitely a step up.
Yeah.
It was really exciting to do that. We were really, like, our guys were really, really excited. Like, Nick would always talk to me about that. Like, we play UIBL, like, in, like, fourth grade. Yeah. So that was definitely kind of like a, this is really cool
yeah.
moment. So playing with that and playing against the best players in the world. I guess, like, the world.
Yep.
It's a little weird.
So how did you feel like you stacked up like that had to be like the coolest moment. Yeah, like all your work and like
definitely.
That's the guy that's like number five in the country. It's time for me to go at him. Like, how do you feel after that ninth grade going into 10th grade? Like,
it definitely gave me some more confidence.
Yeah.
As far as about my game. Like, the guys in Wisconsin are criminally underrated.
I agree.
Like, it's hard. Like, I led the UIB on scoring for 2 years in a row.
Yep.
And it was, I averaged more points in that than high school.
Right.
Like, it was hard. I don't know. Maybe it's just because high school is a little different, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the guys from here are just so fundamentally sound.
Right.
That the stuff I would do and try to pull off, like pump fakes and guys are flying and trying to get blocks.
Yeah.
We're taking charges.
Yep. Yeah.
Like that stuff all translated so well to UIBL. Like, because we're like one of the only teams that's doing that. Like,
yeah.
Because we don't have the high flyers and
the
really, really good athletic players.
Right.
So that stuff was what we had to rely on.
Yeah.
And that made you appreciate that little bit more, all that stuff a little bit more.
On the EYBL circuit, tons of NBA players around, almost like celebrities row sometimes in the games. Do you have like a cool moment of someone that you met at one of those EYBL, like the Peach Jam, or like running into Kevin Durant or any of those guys? You have a good story from that?
15U, LeBron. We were playing LeBron's son.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And LeBron pulled up.
Courtside?
Courtside.
Say hi to him?
No, we didn't. We beat him, though.
Nice. You put up 20 and say something to Bron? No?
I remember.
Probably not. God.
We almost had him to say, like, we almost got him out of the humble thing with him. And he bit his tongue. Definitely not.
We just won. I didn't do much. We just won.
No, I did not. I did not say anything. I remember in that game, I shot a layup right at the buzzer of the second half. We were up by like 12. And I shot a layup to get the point spread.
Yeah.
to get into Peach Jam.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah.
That stuff's important. Wild. Yeah. It's wild how they do it. It's really dumb.
Yeah.
But
so I have a question, Joe, as a director. You have someone of Khan's ability, right? You know he's special. Do they need to play at that EYBL level? You know what I mean, to go where he's going?
I say a couple things. I think you do. I think you at least need to try it, you know, and see where you're at.
And if you have a player on your team and you see that, you're going to...
You got to let him go, especially the good directors. You know, I've known Khan since 6th, 7th grade. So, and I never came up to him like, hey, you need to come play for us. Like, if you play the game, you don't do that. You know, you organically build relationships with guys regardless of who they play for, because basketball is a fraternity. It's not about, you know, if you do it the right way. Well, we've all seen it done the wrong way, but you do it the right way, relationships just flourish without whoever you play for. So a guy like McNabb, who played for us from 6th through 8th grade, it was his opportunity to go play with these guys. It wasn't no, don't do it, like, what are you doing? But no, it's like, you got... That's the biggest stage any kid from, like he just said with Nick Janowski in 4th grade, they want to be on that level. It's your job as a director is to get them to that level, you know, and then it's your job is to, if they don't succeed at that level, bring them back home, you know, or if they do succeed, you support them through that, you know, whatever they're doing. So I think as a director and you have a kid shooting for the stars, you got to allow them to do that. If not, you didn't really play the game. It's really about the, you know, your relationship with the kid more so than their future.
We talk about on the past, Joe's talked about people that have influenced him. Your high school coach used to pick you up at home and drive. Besides your father, was it your high school coach? Who was one of the coach that you can say, yeah, that guy, you know, helped me a lot?
I had so many different coaches kind of early. So, like, Coach Walls was, we knew him for a while before I was in high school. He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
Really good man. So, I wouldn't say he was, like, a father figure, just because, I don't know, I'd known him so long, and he was kind of he's my parents' friend. So, it was like, okay, we trusted him. But it was probably the guys that were earlier on, like a Jeremy McLaughlin.
Yep.
or my Uncle Jeff or an Andy Modfrey. Yeah. I kind of just, those guys really guided me and taught me how to play basketball the right way.
Yep.
And not all kids have that.
No, they don't.
Not all talented kids have that.
Yep.
And if you have that, it's really, really special.
Yep. Because it takes a village. We talk about the village all the time. We didn't get here by luck. Obviously, it's genetics, it's genes, it's work ethic, it's discipline, structure. But it's the village of people. You know, a month and a half ago, Monfrey reached out to me like, hey, I love how your boys play. If it was about me, I'd be like, no, I do my own thing. It's like, oh, you like my boys? Go take them. You know, do what you did with, you know, some of these great players, because that's what you want. You know, it takes everyone is a village of yours if you do it the right way. And none of us would be here without that village of people. So that's the respect that we have, you know, for the village. You got to do this the right way, have the right people. And I will say you've had that, you know, yeah, every step of
very
the way.
Very lucky.
Because like we know, a lot of people don't have that. And I won't say it's by luck, but I do say it's by an early age of finding mentors and people that believe in you and having a set of parents at home. Or a single mom, or like you need someone to help guide you, you know, down that path, because a lot of people don't have that. And that's when you get, the handlers and people trying to like, oh, I got con, like we're going to go to Cincinnati this weekend in third grade just to, you know, get them out there on the scene. Like you didn't do any of that. You know, when you were young, you stayed local. You played in tournaments. That was one day shootouts, and like you didn't do any of that. So I try to explain that to people. Like the best players they wasn't doing all of that. You know, so explain that a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't travel outside of the state for a game other than like a one day shootout in like Waukegan,
right?
Until ninth grade,
right? Right.
Yeah, that was the first time I was on an airplane.
Yeah. Yeah. And Monfrey used to tell me that story all the time.
It's not necessary at all. Like, you do not need to go travel until high school.
Right.
Like, yeah. They're not coming to watch second grade games.
Right. And rankings and none of that really matter to your family or you. Yeah. You know, it's organic. The best players know who the best players are. You don't need a website to tell me who the best player is. If I walk in a gym and it's all fifth graders in there, they know who the best player is. That's what matters. Your peers is what matters, not someone behind a desk telling you who was ranked what. You know, not in third, fourth, all the way to ninth grade. That doesn't really matter. So from hearing that from our best player in the state saying that, so hopefully our listeners understand that with the kids that they have, you don't need to do all this unnecessary stuff. 90-minute radius, you're going to find the best competition you're going to find. If you got two or three practices a week with a really good coach, you got a great village around you with skills trainers, and you play not every weekend, 6 to 7 tournaments. It's all you really need over the summer, especially at the 3rd through 8th grade level. That's all you need to be successful. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's more so getting into practice with those guys and competing against the guys on your team. Because if you have a good team and a good coach, that's where you're going to get better.
Yeah.
So the 6-7 weekends in the summer and the late spring is your chance to show that.
Yep.
And you don't need. I remember I used to complain to my mom, like, why can't we go anywhere?
Right.
You don't need to.
Right.
I think a lot of it getting better too is like you played with the older guys, right? Mm-hmm. And you see it with like our kids. They're playing, they're training with kids that are twice their age, and they're getting better from playing that little higher level also.
Yes, it matters. Like my boys, they play up in AAU, 5th grade. And then during the season, they play their own grade, you know, 4th grade. And you just see the difference of playing older people, you know, and then you come back to your own age, you see that big difference. Like, oh, okay, I can do that move on that level. Now I can get to there and make different moves.
Well, Mason was done working out and you're working out with Tim. And you're like, Mason, get over here, get your ball.
Yeah.
You know, he's a 6th grader and he's doing the workout with Tim. You know, it's like, just do it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely say that playing up as long as you can was big. Like 4th grade, I played with 6th grade, and 5th grade, I played with 7th grade. And then I moved to my age level, 6th grade. Both things are important. Like, it's important to play against better competition, but then also gaining that confidence by playing against kids your own age. And by the time I was in when I played my own age, 6th, 7th grade, I was like, I already played this age.
You're correct. And that's what we're
already
like,
did this.
Yes. And that's the trajectory where I talk about with Max a lot with my boys is they're going to play up, you know, until it's time for them to, because that transition between the little ball and the big ball,
right?
Like getting pressed, breaking zones. If you can do that a year or two early before your actual age, that's a huge advantage from learning the game, you know, processing the game from a knowledge point of view. So if you can do it and you're good enough to do it, you should probably do it. And on some setting, either during a school year with WYBL or with your AAU team, you know, you should try to figure out how to play your kid up and deal with adversity. The ball moves faster. The players are faster. The things you think you can do at a younger age, you probably can't do. Getting off the ball really helps when you're playing
with other good players.
Yes,
right? You're not the best one anymore.
Not the best. You got to learn how to play. You know, so and that happened to one of our good players, Isaiah Allen. You know, remember he came over in 8th grade, and it's like, well, he's always used to having a ball in his hands, so it's like, okay, how are we going to teach him how to play without the ball, and teach him how to play the right way? You know, most people call it how we play like old man, like. We have no one average more than 14, 15.
Yeah, you guys look like CGL.
Yeah.
I love watching this
play. Yeah, we move the hell out the ball. You know, we're getting a foot in the paint. We're like, one more. And it takes a while for a group of guys to buy into that because we're in this society, you grow up thinking it's about you. And when you put on a team and realize it's about the ball is the best player. Once you realize that, you're ready for college. How many college players you know average 20 points a game?
Not many.
Right. It's not a lot. The Purdue guy.
Oh, Edie?
Yeah.
You know, I might average 20 if I get 18 free throws. Right. I'm a Badger guy. Graduate.
So you're
I'm just happy.
Are you one of those?
I do not have
bitching on social media.
I did not get on social media, but it was at my house. Yeah. I just can't watch. It's so hard to watch.
For the Tyler Wall taking the charge.
Yeah.
Guy's like, I'm in Las Vegas and I just hit a guy and I got a foul. And he thought it was Edie.
It's just so hard to watch. So hard.
And we talk about the shift of the game. You like we all know now, like the game has evolved where the center doesn't really matter. Like everyone is like multi you know, dimensional where they got to play every position. But then when you do run against a 7 foot one, 7 feet two guy.
Well, Marquette saw against UConn, you know, they're big guy, eat him up.
Yeah, eat him up. You know, it's like, oh boy. You know, what do we do here? All of us, we like to switch a lot. That's just where the game is going. And then you try to front the post. And then they play off of it. You know, they surround him with shooters, eat him with shooters. You try to front the post. They play high-low. They swing the ball. It's like, yeah, the game is evolving to not having those type of players. But if you do have one of them, you're going to win a lot of games if you use him the right way. So talk about the evolvement of the game that you've seen, you know, from high school, from when you were younger, having a post player. To like you being a post player and a point guard and doing everything.
Yeah.
This the evolvement of the game of playing without a traditional post player anymore.
Yeah. I remember I was in seventh grade. That's when I could start shooting threes. Like, well.
Yeah.
Before that, I didn't even shoot any threes.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like all of basketball. I mean, Curry was just kind of getting on.
Yeah,
onto the scene, and so that was kind of weird in youth to like understand that,
right?
Oh, now threes are cool now,
right?
And it wasn't just because like we got older; it was just because that's how the game was going.
Yeah,
and now like you go to a fifth grade game, and there's like 10 threes on each side being shot. It's like holy cow.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, basketball has become more and more positionless. I mean, high school and college is still kind of hard.
Yeah.
Like, because you run into those guys, like, you need a big.
Yeah. Because
you'll run into those teams that have a really good big.
Yep.
And same with high school, like, or AAU, you need a bigger body just for rebounding purposes.
Yep.
But yeah, like, AAU, I'd bring the ball up sometimes, post up a lot.
Yep.
Just having that plethora of things that you can do, even just like guarding guards, guarding bigs, being able to do multiple things is really valuable to a lot of teams.
Mm hmm.
And I think that's mostly where the game is going, like being able to do a plethora of things.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, I see the transition, and I'm going to use this example. Like, my twins, they grew up learning how to play with the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, they probably going to be 6'5 to 6'8, but they're going to learn how to play with the ball. And then a coach this year, Coach Curl, he was like, well, I know you can do this, but can you post up too?
Right.
Now he made Joseph this unbelievable post player. And he already can do the shooting and all of that. And then I kind of saw that with you, where he made you bring the ball up the court, you know, and play point guard, where you had other guards on the team, but you was the point guard. And so talk about that transition of learning that position before college, of what that would do for you.
Yeah, it's big. You want to be able to play in pick and roll.
Yeah.
Like pick and roll is becoming so big. I mean, it always was, but even more so now with the switching and
mm-hmm.
and everything that's going on. So being able to handle the ball and pick and roll and make reads mm-hmm. and pick and roll is big. And just being able to bring the ball up, not turn it over, have that stability of the ball being in your hands is something you want as a player. You want that mm-hmm. trust, because then you can be on the floor more.
Right, right. And you bring the ball up, and it's so like 1980.
No,
like Magic Johnson. Like,
yeah. Like
you cut me off. You cut me off. Go ahead, buddy. I'm going to turn the other way. You want to trap me? I see over both of you guys. I'm going to make the right pass. It's just like you can't be sped up. You know, certain high school kids, college kids, you can speed them up with, you know, intensity or smacking the ground. Like, yeah, I'm sure you've been called plenty names and different things. It's like you can't get rattled, you know. And I'm looking at the game and I can see some of the Nicolet guys like trying to get under your skin or rebound. Like, oh, I'm going to get this rebound over them. This talking trash. And you just got the same like Tim Duncan approach. Just, you can't rattle them. It's like, damn, but nothing we could do, you know. So let's talk about like teams that want to press you, and you've played against grown men for a long time, of how that helped you flip over to being a point guard position.
Yeah, just definitely being stronger, like getting stronger. Weight room is big.
Yeah.
Weight room was really, really huge to development as far as just being able to hold on to the ball. Like when I was younger, I would just get ripped all the time. You play that one team that presses, and you're like, gosh, I gotta get better. And so weight room was always big. It kind of leveled the playing field. So
right. You know,
the guys that were really, really strong maybe matured a little bit early.
Yep.
And then weight room just leveled that playing field completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then playing with the older guys too, they're stronger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to, that was more ball handling. Like not dribbling, but like just holding onto the ball, chinning it, two hands. Yeah. That stuff's important.
It is important. It's really important. It's so important.
Pivoting.
Yes.
And dribbling the ball in that sense. With the old guys, and weight room really helped.
Yeah.
Just in like a scenario where like on Friday when you're playing Nicolet and they're guarding you 94 feet.
Right.
Like you got to be strong at the ball. Nas is a super physical defender.
Yep.
And you can't turn it over. Like you got to take care of it. So.
Yep. It kind of slowed your game down. I think it slowed the game down of how they tried to guard you guys.
They didn't allow shooting threes.
No.
Shot four threes.
Right. They didn't allow you to do. That was really the championship game. Let's be honest here. That just the way the seeding was, I thought they got screwed a little bit.
It was good for us because we got 4 days to practice for them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that was big. It would have been hard to question. Play them.
Yeah.
That was going to be a question that I wanted to ask is, so your normal preparation for games, talk a little bit about what your normal preparation was for during the season, what a normal game day would be, and then your preparation over the past weekend. How did you prepare Saturday before the game? What did you do? What were the steps?
Like just personal preparation?
Yeah, personal preparation.
So for the week leading up to?
Well, let's just do like a regular game during the season. What would you do game day preparation? Yeah. And then like pregame, what was your ritual?
Yeah, wake up, get a good breakfast, go to school, a little light lunch. I liked a light lunch because I didn't really want a lot in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to coaches or something before the game, and maybe he would have dinner, but I wouldn't really eat that much.
So your coach made dinner before the game?
Yeah, his wife.
That's not normal.
Yeah, we go over to his house for home games. We'd go over to his house, and then for away games, we'd go to Ian's. Get a slice.
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't passing up a slice, though?
I wasn't passing up a slice.
No, not a bean. No.
I was not passing up a slice. Mac and cheese pizza.
Oh, that's my favorite. So I was the same way. I usually eat more after the game than I did before the game.
One of the guys out here, Shimante, who works out here, he told me that get a good breakfast and then try not to eat too much until after the game.
Yeah.
And I noticed that helped a lot. So that's what I started doing toward the end of the year.
Yep.
Not eating as much throughout the day. And then pregame, we'd come back, normally take a nice number two.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always got to be. That's always got to be.
Actually, there's a little nerve.
Like the whole that's part of it.
There's a waiting, a table in a restaurant. Like 15 minutes until your stall is ready.
So we're not going to tell Coach Walls his wife food made all of us go to the bathroom. But I think that's every athlete.
Yeah,
I think that's just normal. Like before every game, I did that. It's like it's normal. You know, if you didn't, it's on your stomach while you're playing.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
Just move the podcast to PG-13.
Oh, that's awesome. Now Joe's dropped some F-bombs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're good. We're good.
And then, we'd watch the JV, a little bit of the JV game.
Yep.
And then I'd get taped, and then we'd go stretch with my buddy Isaiah. Me and him would stretch each other out.
Played with your cousin, too.
Yep.
First cousin.
Z.
Yep. Z. Yeah.
Xavier.
How was that? Playing with him because he got hurt, right? He was hurt for a long time.
Yep.
And then he came back and played a big role for this team this year.
Oh, yeah. So he was on the team last year.
Yep.
He didn't play much. He probably could have.
Yeah.
We had a good team.
Yeah.
We had a lot of older guys.
Yep.
And then, he broke his ankle in AAU season.
Yep.
Or his foot. He broke his foot early in AAU season. They waited 10 weeks. Didn't heal right.
Oh, wow.
Didn't heal right at all. So then they had to have surgery. So then he was out for 4 months after that. So he came back to us in December.
Wow.
And he played two games sparingly right away, our tournament in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next game was the Pewaukee game. He had 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he's a junior?
Sophomore.
Oh, thank God that happened early. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Glass half full. It happened early.
Yeah.
Right.
He's had a couple of injuries. With his foot, with his wrist, he's had a couple of surgeries, he's gonna be really good.
Yeah, I like his game a lot. I like his dad.
Smart.
Yeah, that's another great family. Let's talk about the recruiting battle when it was time to get down that path, and we're all getting to know you better, and that was the hardest part for you. You can just see it on your face when every day being the best player in the state. From school to the teachers to the guidance counselor to the janitor to random people stop you like, hey, Con, where are you going to school at? How much did that weigh on you? And how much did that, you wanted to get away from that?
Yeah, I really don't like talking about myself.
Yeah.
And that might not be evident on the pod. Like, I don't know why would you come on a podcast if you don't like talking about yourself. That was always hard. Like, where are you going?
Yeah,
I gave people the benefit of the doubt because it wasn't people that like you would never talk to me about it.
No,
because you like
right,
you like people that know basketball or like right. nobody really wants to talk about that stuff.
Right,
and so but it would be like I'd give people the benefit of the doubt because it's like a teacher they don't know
right
like,
right
or like a random kid
right
in school
yeah
so that was that was tough
yeah
just always kind of people were always kind of wondering and people would ask my family my cousins. He's like, my cousin is kind of a jerk. And he was like, people would ask him, he's like, I don't know. And if I knew, why would I tell you? Right. He said that to everybody. So that was hard to balance that.
Yeah.
It took a lot of energy just to talk to people about it.
Yeah.
Wanted to ask questions.
Yeah. How did you narrow your list down? What were the things that you were looking for to kind of narrow your list down? Because you had a great list of schools all over the country. And then you narrowed it down to three really good schools.
Yeah.
So how did you narrow that down?
Yeah. I wanted to win. And I thought the winning program was a big aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought that just going to the spot that would give me the best player I could be.
Yep. Yep.
That started to become more and more prevalent towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a coach and a staff that I could trust.
Yep, yep.
And there's a lot of those staffs.
Yeah,
guys you can trust, but the ones that emerged at the end were kind of...
Yep, those are the staffs.
Those are the staffs you're like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. This is good. And outside looking in, you did a great job. Those three schools are unbelievable. I'm a couple years older than John, Coach Schneider, and you played so much like he did in high school. You know, he was... in Chicago.
Light it up.
Light it up. And you couldn't speed him up. You know, he played against inner city teams. He played against all type of teams. And he was just who he was, like calm, collective. He would give people the business. And just to see you end up with a place where a coach played the game at a high level like that, mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. And so I hear you rooming with Cooper. Is that true?
I don't know yet.
Okay, like, you don't know yet. People, okay.
Yeah.
I saw that on the internet. Like, yeah, they're rooming together. Like, yeah.
Just like, I mean, it's likely that I'll room with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. Because there's like four guys in a dorm.
Right.
Well, like the dorms are connected. Yeah. It's like two and two.
Okay.
And we're in the freshman dorm.
Okay.
So at first.
Yep, did you choose a major or anything?
I'm going to be a history major.
I was a history major.
Were you?
Yeah. Like when Joe said he went to Marquette. Well, what do you want to major in? I don't know. Whatever you guys think.
Right. I don't know. I'm here to play basketball. Like, you tell me what I need to do to get the hell out of here in 4 years. That's the way I looked at it. I didn't know. Whatever. You know. So most of us was comm studies. Like, you know, this is what you need to do. And obviously it helps now. This is what I do for a living. But, you know, most of us don't know what we're doing. So to know is pretty cool.
Yeah, I want to be a history teacher.
Oh, awesome. So, yeah, so
that was the exact same.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the girls' scheme, yeah. Right? And the girls want to go for a four-year college. They want to get a degree.
Yep.
You know, that's why we think the girls' game has evolved a lot. How much is your education important to you? Is it more about the basketball or?
In college, yeah, it's more about the basketball. I don't really like school.
Yeah.
I've always gotten pretty good grades, though. Yeah. So, like, my mom kind of, I don't want to say, like, she didn't put pressure on me to get good grades, but, like, you're doing your homework, you're doing it right.
Yeah.
She would show me, like, hey, you got a B, like, you can get this up to an A.
Yeah.
Like, she would show me that stuff.
I mean, you still got to do your work in the classroom to get,
right. Oh, my, like, God, yeah.
Duke's
yeah.
a really high academic school.
Yeah, right.
There's schools on your, it's not like
yeah.
you're just walk, anyone can walk in there and go to school. There.
100%.
That, like, academic yeah. primary.
Like, I was recruited there. By Stanford
yeah.
a little mm-hmm. bit, so I got pretty good grades. I take tough class, like, I take AP courses.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, talk about your grades important. A little bit. What did you, your GPA and your ACT score, did you take that multiple times or just one time?
Just once.
Once?
Yeah.
High 20s?
Yeah.
And that's so hard. I took it one time. So where I was from, it was 20 years before the last Division I player. And I took it one time. My guidance counselor, she set the bar really low. It's like, you need an 18 and a 2.7 GPA to play in college. I was like, oh, this is amazing. I didn't study anything. Got an 18 the first time. And my coach was like, you don't need to take it again if you want. I was like, cool. I'm good, you know. But talk about, like, you know, you said your mom, you know, my boys, their mom stay on them with homework. That's not my job. like Shannon Sharp. Like Shannon Sharp said, you know, Shannon Sharp said on his podcast, like, you know, his daughter or someone used to come home with fourth grade math. And it was just like, I'm not doing it. I can't even do this no more. It's like, don't even show me what you're doing, because I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to pull out a calculator. So I'm going to show you the answer. So talk about, like, you know, your drive to be a great student first.
Yeah. Me and my, like, my school is pretty good school, my grade school. And a lot of my classmates, we were pretty competitive about our grades.
Nice.
Which was interesting. Like, we were like, he got a 96. Like,
yeah.
I got a 97. So, like, that was interesting. You don't always have that.
No,
like,
you don't.
In grade school
or
middle school to have a competitiveness with grades.
Right.
Really stupid.
Right.
But, yeah, mom was definitely making sure we were doing all our stuff. She didn't really help me with a lot,
yeah.
Like a lot of homework. Like, I figured a lot of stuff out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sometimes my brothers are like, ask her to, like, study with her. And mm-hmm. I've never done any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, God definitely blessed me a little bit in that way where I could just figure stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think but no matter what level, if you want to play college basketball, you have a better chance of doing that if you are. Take the classroom seriously and get good grades,
correct.
Regardless of what level. You get twice as many options. So, like, and now maybe not so much, but, like, if your dream is to play college basketball, you have to go to school. That's part of your dream, per se. So, like, you got to take that seriously. It helps everyone out. It helps the coaches out. They don't have to worry about it. Like, that would be one of the first couple things they ask, especially with some of the high academic schools that are around.
Yeah, one of the things that I don't get anymore is, like, when Coach Craig Robinson was talking, and, you know, it was a big deal 15, 20 years ago, the graduation rate. Like, oh, 98% of people graduate once they get to Marquette. The basketball players. That that was a stat that they, like, showed to us all the time. Like,
yeah, we use it at Carroll.
You need those stats. You know, it's like those stats matter. And diving into a little bit of that is, basketball players with the discipline and structure have higher degree ratings than a regular student that's at school. So all the stuff that we do, that's basketball wise, once you step on campus, you actually got a better chance of graduating than most kids do, because you got tutors, you got advisors, you got, you know, this is your lane you got to go into. So the higher graduation rate is higher through athletes than it is due to the population of regular kids. And I think that's pretty cool, because we don't live the same life that everyone else does. You know, I have buddies that
more on your plate,
right? You got more on your plate. You don't do half the things that a regular student does,
for sure.
But they don't do half the things that we do either. I mean, it kind of works both ways. But, you know, I just think that's a cool thing to see, you know, that you're taking care of the classroom work. Talk about Cooper Flag a little bit, of how he was a 25 that went to a 24 and to be able to play with a player like that, how is that going? That's got to be pretty cool. Have you played against him before?
Yeah, I played against him in Orlando.
We played
the top 100 camp, played against his team.
Okay. And how was, did you know by then, were you being recruited by Duke at that point?
No. Yes. Yes. Coach had talked to me. They had reached out early in the spring. And our second UIBL session, I missed the first one. I was hurt.
Yeah.
And I came back the second one, and I hadn't played in like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And I sucked. And I was really, I was like, damn.
They ain't going to want me.
No, I was like, I wasn't really thinking about Duke, but I was like, I was more so thinking, dang, everybody was right. 17U is a step up. Because that's what everybody would say. Because, like, oh, you're like 16.
Whatever. Yeah.
He's not that good.
Yeah.
So I was like, dang, 17U was a step up.
Yeah. So, you know, that the injury of the UIBL, like, talk about that a little bit, like the first session, the second session, what schools were there, you know, looking at you, and, you know, talk about, you know, just the pressures of that level a little bit.
Yeah. You felt a little soft.
Yeah.
Because what actually happened was I went down and I was going to play. I was going to play. I wasn't ready to play. And I was going to play, and then I got food poisoning.
Oh, wow.
So then I was throwing all night.
That was a sign.
And then I didn't play. And then, Duke was there, and then I wasn't playing, so they left. And Tony Bennett was watching. He's like, So, like, a lot of the guys that were recruiting me didn't come to our game.
Yeah.
And then second session I played, I was bad.
Yeah.
Really bad. And then the next session got back to being good, and then and that's when Duke started recruiting heavier.
Okay. And that's why I think it's, like, important, like we talked about before, of the kids seeing those different levels, because it's so much pressure, you know, to perform. But it's not, you know, if this is what you do every day, it's not pressure, because this is something that you do every day. You know, it's like, yeah, I didn't play the best that I wanted to play. Yeah, people might be questioning if, you know, 16U is harder than 17U and what I have to do. But, you know, my work is going to show, and the coach who's going to see my work is probably where I want to go, because they trust that process of it, you know. So I think that's important to all the kids that's listening, is trust your work. Because you're going to get hurt. Things are going to happen in live periods. We had that with our guys. Things happen. It's not going to be perfect. Nolan was 1-for-11 from three in a live period, you know, and the same coaches that passed on him, he ended up landing where he needed to be, you know? So it's not about any of that. You got to go where you want it, and kind of trust your work.
Talk about the rumor who you're going to room with.
Yeah. I've heard on Twitter that it was going to be Cooper Flagg. Yeah, what do you think about that, Con? Is that something that's true, or is that just a rumor mill?
Definitely just rumor mill. I mean, it's likely that we would room because it's six guys. So
yeah, yeah.
Likely, but there's a lot of stuff on Twitter. Like I've been reading that I'm going to make $1.1 million.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
That's not true. Yeah.
Don't you wish? Yeah. Be set for life. Yeah,
like,
It's
I don't know. Like people. That's sometimes it's frustrating. I'm not on social media that much.
Yeah.
But when I like, sometimes I'll just scroll on Twitter and then I'll just check comments. I'm like, let's see what people are talking about. Right. Sometimes that brings a little extra juice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people saying stuff that they don't know anything about, and it's just not true. It's funny.
Yep.
Going to Duke. It's a big school. Pressures. How are you going to try to manage the pressures that is going to be involved? You're the best player in Wisconsin, right? You know, when you go there, you're not number one. You know, you got to fit in. What are you going to use to rely on to handle all that?
Well, first of all, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Like that's always what we're going to fall back on.
And I kind of knew that was going to be your answer. Yeah, that's why it was the question I asked. So.
Because that's truly where our worth is.
Yep.
And having that to fall back on is big, is huge as a player, because you can go out there and play and you win or lose, you play bad, you play well. You can come back and know that Jesus died for you and that the true victory is in him and not in a game.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of rare in athletes to kind of talk about that. You're seeing it more with CJ Stroud in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was Tim Tebow at the time at one time, but you're starting to see a little bit more of that in sports, players huddling in the middle in the NBA, praying and stuff. So it's kind of nice, refreshing to hear, you know, the best player in the state, you know, relying on his faith.
I think that's pretty cool. And to have something of this world that you believe in is something that we all strive to be. And we talked about our faith a lot on here, is you want to have something that you believe in. Because this world is built around people that don't believe in different things, regardless of, you know, whatever they do. But, you know, you want to be something that positive of this world and leave something behind for other people to follow. Just like we have with our Lord and Savior that we have. That's what we want. You know, we're following a path. And we want to talk about that winning a little bit. Like, you know, we talked about high school, what that means.
Yeah, like, you know, you won a state championship, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking how Joe was successful in high school and how winning is preparing you for that next level. Now you won a state championship. The pressures that were involved in there, how is that going to prepare him for the college pressures?
Yeah, like we were saying, I think, you know, if you're concerned about winning and not individual accolades, that you're going to be very successful in whatever you do. But you know, especially in sports setting, a team setting, if you think more about the group, not yourself, you're going to be successful going into it. It's not going to be, you know, the accolades that I won. And like I mentioned, that the things we do as athletes, I got more sleepless nights on the games I didn't win than the games that I did win. Those keep me up more than anything. And I'm sure losing to Pewaukee, you know, three straight times keep you motivated more than the one you just won, you know, because that's the stuff like, God, I wish you could bring that play back or that situation back or that team back, because you do it for each other and you'll never see some of these guys again. And just to know you didn't get over the hump with some of them, that's what kept me going as an athlete, is to be in the best version of myself for others. Because a team, people are not going to be as blessed to get to where you're going. But the people along the way helped you get there. So they can always look at you and have a little piece of them inside of it. And I always thought that was cool as an athlete, is, you know, the people that I grew up with in Chicago, I didn't take them with me, but they can look at me and say, man, I knew him from third through eighth grade. I knew that, like, I was with him shooting in a gym. I was doing this and hanging out. Like, that little piece of success, you can carry, people can carry with you. And I think in college, you learn that more about being a part of something bigger than yourself. But I think as a successful athlete, you need your losses to matter, because you're going to lose a lot in life. That's just a part of it. But how you deal with that adversity is going to help you continue to grow as a player.
What is, I know graduation's next on your list, of course. What does summer look like for a big school player? You know, we kind of got a little input on what like Michael and Tim are doing at their mm-hmm. level. What does summer look like to you going forward here and preparing for Duke?
Yeah, so the next 3 months, because I'll be leaving in the mid to late June. So the next 3 months I'll be in here every day, Monday through Friday.
Yep.
Lifting, and then a couple times a week with Travis working mm-hmm. out. And then I'll be playing Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday mornings with the old men. And with actually Mondays is with the high school guys, a bunch of seniors.
Oh yes, yeah.
So
yeah, Tim telling me he played last Monday.
Yep.
I saw, because you guys keep stats.
Yeah. Tim's on my team now.
Oh, Bennett, that's not fair.
Because Bennett, I picked Bennett, and Bennett, you know, with his tooth, he messed up his whole mouth.
Yeah.
And he just needs like a root canal.
Wow.
So. Tim's on my team now.
It's not
for the rest of the session.
Oh, no. Whoever made this up, you know, these teams.
They were very skeptical. All the other captains are very skeptical because he said we were too young. They're all.
Oh, wow. Teams, so. Yeah.
Are you guys in the All-Star? Are they in the All-Star game? Or
some people do it. Some people don't. Yeah. It just depends on when you leave.
It's always in July.
Yeah. I won't be here for that. I'll be some gone all July. So
I think a lot of the D2 guys, D3 guys, they should still be in town. So you'll see more guys on that level that take those spots deservingly. So some of the higher guys are going to be gone in school by that time.
Are you looking past college? I know you're not looking past college, but what are your aspirations past Duke? I mean, you want to go play NBA overseas?
Yeah, I want to play in the NBA. And that's something I'll work for and keep getting better at and hopefully get there. And as soon as I'm done playing hoops, and that's when I want to go to be a history teacher at my high school now. Yeah.
That's funny because Craig Robinson was on here, and his plan was to teach, what was it, high school or seventh grade or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to do secondary education teacher at Madison, and then I got into the college coaching basketball, and now I couldn't go back. I couldn't sit in the classroom all day. But that would be the one thing I could, because you're interacting, you're around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do high school you teacher and high school coach?
Do you think that you will be a coach one day?
I don't think so. I think I'll be like my dad. I don't want to coach.
Yeah, talk about Con Senior a little bit. That guy is an interesting guy. I heard he fell off the ladder a couple of weeks ago. How is he doing? I texted him, thinking it was your number, like 3 weeks ago, just trying to confirm my podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That it was him, and he was like, I'll just ask him, like, dude, how are you doing? He fell off the ladder. So talk about him a little bit. He's like super quiet, you know, very well reserved. You got similar personalities, you know, so talk about him, because he was a great player in his own right too.
Yeah, so I try to learn a lot from him because he's very, like you said, reserved. He doesn't like to chit-chat after the game. Like after my game, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like he's out of the gym. He's going home. I'll see you at home.
I like that.
He doesn't like to chit chat. Like when he goes to my brother's games, he brings his own chair, and he goes and sits in the foldable chair. He doesn't sit on the bleachers with the other parents.
I like that too.
Just watches,
get in and out.
Yep. But he's a hooper.
Yeah,
he's still playing. Like when you talked about sleepless nights, like he'll lose a CGL regular season 63, week 9. He'll lose the game and he won't sleep. So that kind of speaks to the competitiveness that he has.
Yeah.
And me and my brothers like to give him a hard time because he's good at dumb stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Like board games and stuff that doesn't matter, but he's just a competitive guy. And it's cool to have that reserved humility mixed with competitiveness.
100%.
You don't see that in a lot of people.
No, you don't. You don't. But we're talking to one now. I mean, that's who you are, you know, in a nutshell. That's you know, and I think that's pretty cool for our kids, my boys in particular, just to see that type, because we all see the over the top stars, but you don't see the reserved stars who, you know, they come in and just go about their work and do it the right way. And I think that speaks volumes of how you was raised, your village, your parents. And I just think that, you know, 5-10 years from now, we don't know, you know, because I think the sky's the limit for how you play already. It translates over more to the NBA as it does to college, just because of how you play already. Like, a lot of people learn how to play how you play now in college, you mm-hmm. know. So just to see that the way NBA is translating and playing now to how your game is, I think that's going to be a seamless transition for some people, like Jaime Jaquez. Look how he plays. Let's right away, you know, he plays at a certain speed like a Jimmy Butler already with the Heat. He's not sped up. He plays off 2 feet. He plays the right way. So that goes a long way of what people are starting to look for. Because, yeah, the game is getting younger. But we still want the development of players once they get to that point of being developed. They don't want to be babysitting. You know, Coach Pop talked about that. Like, I'm babysitting, you know, some of these kids because they don't know how to play. You know, so this is development of the game. I think you're going to be ahead of the curve. We see that already. I don't want to leave without talking about that block. I talked about it for a second, and it was the biggest block of the game of Nicolay. He's on the other side of the block. A guy got a straight line drive for a layup. He's on the other side of the block, and I'm in the crowd. We're watching, and he goes up. It was by the white, you know, the white of the backboard. Where the square is, and he caught it. Boom. And it was just like simultaneously. and the crowd was like, you know, some crowds was like, that's golden. And other crowds was like, damn, how did he get up that high? But talk about your sneaky hops and how many people you catch off guard with your with your sneaky hops that you have.
Yeah, I try to be a little more vertical this year.
Yeah.
I think I had more dunks than probably the rest of my life combined this
yeah,
year.
You did, yeah, for sure.
So I that was the emphasis, try to get, because that stuff, showing that you have that athleticism.
Yes.
And I want to be able to maintain that more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard.
It is.
Like, it's hard. Like, some games, like, I'm not feeling that.
Right.
But trying to maintain that that takes you to another level.
Yep, yep.
So, I mean, yeah, that was the biggest moment of the game. So, like, you got to go up and try. Yeah. Like, I had 4 fouls.
Yeah, you did.
So I was a little nervous about that, but I was like, no, I got this one.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. The person who were reffing your game, we did a podcast with Keith. He was one of the ball-headed refs. And he was coaching – he was reffing one of your games. You were going against somebody this year, and he was talking about reffing star players. You're going against someone who was going to Wisconsin or Illinois. And he was like, this ref in that game. And he's like, you know, us as refs, we're trying to make sure that we keep these guys in a game because everyone's coming to see them. So we got to make sure every foul is a real foul on them. We got to make sure that, you know, we're not trying to control the game. Like, some of the real refs understand because they played the game. Mm-hmm. You know, they understand the circumstance of the game. So just in that moment, I thought it was pretty cool that it came full circle, that you guys went undefeated this year. So many hurdles. I mean, you had so many close games, too, that you couldn't have won. Like, Homestead game, for instance, it was a 2-point game. You know, it was times where it's many moments in your season where you face adversity. So when it was time to face it against an opponent in the semifinal game, no one was rattled. You got up, you got down, you stayed the course. They got up, they got down. You didn't get too high, too low. Like, the team stayed the course.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, our coach is not a very complimentary guy. Like, we're staying grounded, and we're trying to keep pushing forward. Like, so he's not giving us many compliments. But the last game of the year before we played Whitnall, in the crossover game, the last game of the year, and he's like, guys, I make the schedule so that we lose.
Yeah.
So that we're guaranteed a loss. And you guys are undefeated. We're going to go undefeated because we're going to win tonight. And that was just a funny moment. But yeah, like, our schedule was tough.
Tough.
Yeah, it shouldn't say Division II state title.
No.
It should just be
state title.
State title.
For all divisions.
Yeah. They beat everyone.
You beat everyone, and you wanted that. I love it.
I got a couple buddies on Marquette, but I was a little pissed.
Yeah.
I was a little pissed at DePere. I was happy for Bennett.
Yeah,
it was an awesome game.
Yep, yep.
But I wanted Arrowhead to win that game because we beat Arrowhead. So, like,
it would have
been Arrowhead, us, St. Thomas More.
Yep.
We beat them both, you guys.
That would have been pretty cool. But in closing, I just think you represent, for me as a club director, a person who played the game and a person who has kids in the game, you represent what we want from our kids, our athletes, to be as far as the person first and then the athlete second. Your discipline, structure, how you go about your day, the competitive drive that you have to be great, is what we all should be striving to be for our kids, the next generation. Us as directors, we want to push the buttons of our next generation kids that's coming up. And you put that all together from sixth grade, from me knowing you, you know, from sixth grade. You just kept getting better and better and stayed as humble and reserved as you are through the whole process. And you don't see that, you know, that often. The pressures of being great, to sustain being great, and to try to reach new levels all the time is something that we want for all of our kids. And you've been the pinnacle of all of that for us. And so just from a basketball community, we thank you for what you've doing for the game. And also we're rooting for you going forward here.
I really appreciate that.
Yes,
definitely. Good luck. Good luck at Duke. Congratulations on all your accomplishments, being the best in the state, state champion.
Yep.
That's hard.
State champion sounds good.
Undefeated state champion. That sounds better.
Right. That's even better.
Right. So thanks a lot, Con. Really, really appreciate it. Good stuff. Thanks.
Thank you.